You're listening to KRFP Radio Free Moscow. It's 404. And you're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. If you are tuned in to KRFP on your in your car or at home, 92.5, you might have been listening to Nancy Casey's Words and Music program. And we're cooperating with her today. Nancy's been a good friend to us here at the Wild Clearwater Country, and we are going to continue some conversations with Afalyn and Abner from Haiti, from the island of Lago Nav, community of Matenwa. And we're going to be talking with them about some concerns they have, some perspective that they have for environmental problems and environmental justice. And to lead up to later this week, they're going to be going on a tour with Gary around the Wild Clearwater Country to some select locations, spend a little time in the woods, and get to know the forests of central Idaho a bit. Yeah, yeah.
She'll try.
So first, a couple of announcements, and then we'll get on into the show. September 9th, that's a week from Saturday, Friends of the Clearwater and Palouse Group Sierra Club will be doing a field trip hike to Grandmother Mountain. If you haven't been up to this spot on the Idaho Panhandle National Forest, it's fantastic. Some nice open meadows that are turning red and brown this time of year. And some great vistas in this pretty good-sized roadless chunk. How big is Grandmother Mountain, Gary?
Oh, I think it's about between 30 and 40,000 acres, okay, is my recollection.
Separated only really from Pinchot Butte roadless area by a single road.
A single road, and that complex there is sort of separated from the Mallard Larkins by more than a single road, but some development and logging and some roads. But it's not heavily logged, most of that country, although the private land up there has been really hit hard. But some of that country, some of the buttes, monument buttes and whatnot, between there and the Mallard Larkins country, the Little North Fork. So it headwaters in Grandmother Mountain, flows into the Mallard Larkins proposed wilderness, and then from there, unfortunately, into the slack water of Dworshak.
Slack water. That lake where you can go bass fishing in Idaho. So we'll be going up there to Grandmother Mountain Saturday, September 9th. And we're meeting 7 a.m. at Rosar's parking lot in Moscow. Probably return around 4 p.m. If you'd like to join us, please please do. Should be a good trip. Any other announcements? Gary, do you have any off the top of your head?
I think that's it. Do you have anything, Nancy, that you...
Any community announcements?
Boy, I'm drawing a blank.
All right. Well, let's see here. Well, we should just get on into the meat of the show, and we're blessed with two French speakers here, and Nancy, who you've heard speaking French Creole a lot for the last several weeks, I'm imagining, and good to have Abner here with us, too. Gary, would you like to perhaps maybe frame out where we might be going here and bring us on in?
I'm going to ask Abner some questions, and I hope he can understand my French, because it's more Canadian French here. So, it's sort of like somebody from the Deep South speaking to somebody from Scotland or something. Who knows? So we're going to be... It can be tough at times. My grandmother could never understand the BBC broadcasts when she heard them. So who knows? We'll give it a shot here. That's why Nancy's here. She's very good in Creole. So we'll have her help where I give up. But I think we ought to ask some questions about the forests in Lago Nav and sort of what's happening there, and we'll maybe do some compare and contrast with the United States, because I think a lot of the forest policies are somewhat similar, at least some of the history, a lot of exploitation that occurred on the forests early on, and it was due to expansionism, call it colonialism or imperialism or whatever term people might want to put on it, expansionism. It happened, I think, in both places. So I'd just like to ask some questions about some of the forests and some of the environmental issues there in Lago Nav. So.
Okay, Abner Puka Kone. Sa Gary te di li tavle essaye parle aveo nan français, yon ti kras. Et li curieux pou gen information sou forêt Lagunav, reboisement, désboisement, l'histoire, world gouvernement, fait un pile baga qui kan en conversation ça, et me pensez ou t'as pas intéressé parler avec nous, non ça?
Oui, me pensez, moi, disposé pour me parler avec nous, nan niveau que moi capable, me pensez c'est un bon bagay pour nous gagner quelques informations sur Lagunav, sur Haïti pendant.
So you want me to translate? Yeah. Okay. So Abner says, "I'm really." Oh, okay.
But go ahead, but Nancy. You better.
Oh, okay.
Because you were remembering what he said, and I was listening. So there we go.
Then we all get to hear.
Yeah. So Abner said that he's really happy for this opportunity to talk, and he thinks that it's a really good thing that we're able to bring information about Haiti, particularly forest issues, into this community because a lot of times that information isn't very available.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to do a question here, and since I've not spoken French on the radio, we'll give it a little shot here. And y a-t-il des forêts à Lagunav? Beaucoup ou moins ou quelle est la situation maintenant à Lagunav?
Bon, à Lagunav, nous n'avons pas de forêts et nous n'avons quelques endroits qui a beaucoup de bois, mais nous n'avons pas de forêts.
Oh, that's very interesting. He said that they really don't have forests at Lagunav, but they do have some places with trees, but it's not forested. And I'm going to make a little contrast here and compare to the U.S. Maybe let's talk about the wild Clearwater country. There are places in the wild Clearwater country where I wouldn't call what we have, all the trees out there, a forest per se. It's not a functioning forest in the sense that scientists have heard about or learned about and teach us about, in that tree plantation is not really a functioning forest.
Gary D, quand y a même nous rêvé sous première bagaille qui même Jean Lagunav nous gagnons ici parce que y a un pile côté ici où qu'a gardé ou qu'a dit oh ça c'est une forêt, mais c'est pas vraiment ça. Ça c'est côté qui gagne pied bois. Mais ça ne veut pas dire tout côté qui gagne pied bois, c'est écosystème forêt vrai. Mm-hmm. Ça, c'est le premier bagage nous gagnons en commun.
Oui, je crois que c'est le premier bagage nous gagnons en commun parce que en forêt, c'est un bagage qui gagne en pile pied bois, toute qualité pied bois. En pile, ce n'est pas côté monde à couper bois à tout temps, mais c'est même bien pour Lagunav. Gen ke koto ka jen plizye pye boa, men sa ne ve di pa nou avon en fore a Lagunav.
So Abner said that yes, that really is something that we have in common, because the way he understands that what a forest is a place where you have all different kinds of trees kind of growing all mixed up together with other vegetation, and it's a place where people aren't actively involved in cutting the trees or parts of the trees, trimming parts of it away too.
Well, that's great. That's good information there. I guess I think we probably ought to ask. Do you have any questions, Will? That you? Think
I'm sure I'll be developing some here real shortly.
The question that obviously that comes to my mind, and I'll state it in English and then try to state it in French. After that is what are people doing to reforest Lagunav, and how are people doing that? So I'm going to try to put that in French, and I'll even try to see if I can. Put a little bit of Creole in there. We'll try, but probably it's good. It may come out as really mangled French. It's been 30 years since I had much of an occasion to speak French. But qu'est-ce que vous faire à Lagunav pour reboiser les forêts?
Comme je vous disais tout à l'heure, à Lagunav, nous n'avons pas de forêt. C'est plutôt qu'est-ce que nous faisons pour reboiser Lagunav.
So like I said, we don't really have a forest on Lago Nav. So when we're talking about reforestation, we mean we're starting from scratch.
Pour Lago Nav, gen plusieurs groupes moun ki conscient de déboisement qui gagne et ça ça apporté et au niveau danger pour Lago Nav.
On Lago Nav, we have a number of groups that are really coming to realize the extent of the damage that's happened on Lago Nav and how we're beginning to be in desperate conditions if things don't change.
Premier bagay, c'est en pile moun prend conscience pour yo pas couper et bois encore.
So people really understand that they can't cut any more wood.
Qui veut dire ça, c'est moun commence à prendre conscience pour bois qui gagne sous terre à Kounia pour yo quitter yo grandir pour yo capable rester là.
People's consciousness is really raised about the fact that the trees that we have to keep, we have to leave those trees in the ground.
Et l'autre bagaille qui gagne encore, c'est des groupes moun ou bien d'individus qui Kounia qui commencé à planter et pied bois bord la caille pa yo sous terre.
So one of the things that's really starting to happen everywhere, groups and individuals are starting to plant trees, especially just close to their houses where they can watch them and take care of them.
En pis, sa ki nan phase pi gwo, se nou gen kek organizasyon tankou World Vision.
And then on a much larger scale, there's other organizations that are helping us out. One of them is World Vision.
Nou gen et concern
another is concern
qui fait quelques pépinières dans local pépinières dans quelques zones pour aider moun planter pied bois
and they're helping us get the resources together that we need to start establishing tree nurseries in all of the different places so that there's trees available when people need to plant them
en puis gain quelques écoles tout.
And schools are involved.
Qui engagé pour planter pied bois tant que spécialement l'école communauté maternelle m'a dirigé.
Schools are really becoming involved in getting children engaged in planting trees and this is one of the most important activities that we do in the school that I direct, the Matinwa Community Learning Center.
Passé fois dernière là anecdote passé là nous te bail 6000 petits pieds bois pour tout monde t'est planté dans café matin noir toute zone aux environs de l'école.
So last year we were able to raise up 6000 trees from seed that we gave to the students at the school, their families and people in the whole zone and even on to the next couple of towns.
Au niveau gouvernemental, pas gain programme qui basé sur et comment pour yo faire reboisement dans Lago Nav.
As far as for what the government is doing, there just really aren't any programs at all that come directly from the government that are focused on reforesting Haiti.
I have a couple questions, Abner.
Okay, we'll get quelques questions pour.
I'm really interested in the active reforestation efforts and the direction that's going.
Li interesse un pile pour wegen tellement activité dans le boisement dans pays.
I wonder if there are seedlings that have sprung up naturally of the native trees that used to be forest there.
L'Italie les connaît parce que les con Haïti et Lago Nav même té un gros forêt non yon lot moment. Et l'Italie les connaît si à cause ça est-ce que gen zone cap reboisé pour compte yo
nous capable dit li pas en zone en général cap reboisé pour compte li parce en Haïti l'en dit en zone c'est un gros morceau comment ta dit un gros morceau dans une communauté.
So we wouldn't maybe say whole zones or regions could reforest themselves naturally because in Haiti when we talk about a zone or a region, you're talking about areas of pretty high population density that include like houses and people and whatnot.
Mais gen kek fem ki ve di on gros quantité terre tant que quelques moun gen ka préboiser pour
ponture. All the same, if somebody has a piece of land that's relatively large and there's trees growing on it and it's left alone where no animals might eat the seedlings, yeah, the trees spring up and grow all on their own.
Gen plusieurs petits morceaux terre ka préboiser pour ponture.
And then, you know, so there's quite a few little chunks of land in the area where that's happening.
Are there, do the seeds provided by World Vision and Concern and others, are they seeds of the trees of the native forest found there?
Et puis les gens, organisation tant que World Vision ou bien Concern, les organisés pépiniers, est-ce que graines pour planter, est-ce que ils sortent pays d'Haïti ou est-ce que ils sortent l'autre bord?
Et gain plus fort c'est l'autre bord ils sortent.
Most of them come from overseas. They aren't local.
Mais gain un pile grain tout qui sorti dans pays d'Haïti.
But we do start a lot of trees from seeds that do come locally.
Gain parfois yo utilisé fruit.
Especially fruit.
Tant que orange.
Oranges.
Shadek.
Grapefruit.
Limon.
Limes.
Thanks.
That's very interesting. I just want to do a little quick comparison here. As here in the U.S., one could say the government's involved in, depending on one's perspective, deforestation with the subsidies on the national forests for logging, although some of that's changed in recent years, mainly due to the budget and mainly due to the fact that the most accessible big old trees are all gone now. The big tree growing areas of the public domain in the United States or the West Coast. So that's interesting. Should we translate that for Abner? And I'll help me. What did I just say? Okay, here we go.
Oui, il dit ça c'est intéressant parce que il pensait non niveau gouvernement. Nous n'avons une situation qui pire par ces situations d'Haïti. Si en Haïti, le gouvernement n'a pas aidé à reboisement, ça c'est un bagaille qui pas tellement bon. Mais ça nous est dans un pays par nous, c'est le gouvernement aide les gens dans le déboisement. Il y a un côté qui gagne pied-bois et le gouvernement vend pied-bois ça y a prix qui bat en pile quand ça moun ka prend bois ça coupel van li et gagne en pile cob et si gouvernement yo commence à faire ça moins et ça ka encourager mais problème qui la dan ça tout c'est yo fait ça moins parce que pierre bois qui go yo presque fini.
Oui, en Haïti li on ti crasse dans sens ça et nous kon gen gouvernement non yo pas encourager moun faire déboisement surtout gouvernement qui pas légal gouvernement coup d'état mais yo kon pas occuper tout si déboisement a fait.
It's the same story. It's the same story. It's what happened to us in Haiti. It is unfortunate our government's not helping us with reforestation now. And back when we did have large tropical rainforest hardwood trees, our government was right there, especially with the help of outsiders, getting Haiti completely deforested, sending the timber overseas.
Mais surtout gouvernement qui légal tant qu'un point gouvernement qui fait que tout monte là. Et yo gen doit pas gen une politique pour permettre moun pas couper bois mais quand même dans radio dans journal yo toujours dit bon yo pral faire reboisement moun pas doit couper pied bois mais yo pas mettre un bas strict qui capable contrôler est-ce que moun a couper est-ce que moun pas couper.
We find that the fortunes of our environment rise and fall with the legality of our governments. When we have a coup d'etat kind of government, those governments don't take care of anything. But now we're more encouraged because we have a legitimately elected president again, and we feel like that's going to help our country move in a direction that's best for the people. And in addition to that, we make a lot of use of grassroots groups and especially the radio, and we get a lot of publicity out in newspapers in any way we can so that there's a general feeling in the country that trees shouldn't be cut and trees need to be planted.
Wow, the coup d'etat government. shades of something that happened here in this country. Oh, my, my. C'est la même chose ici. Anyway, that's just very interesting. One of the differences that we do have here, in spite of the problems, and we can translate this for just a second, is that in spite of all the public lands we have here in the national forests, there is a system that citizens can become involved, and the government at least, in spite of its differing ideas from time to time, it is required to operate under certain rules and regulations, and therefore we do have some places that are still heavily forested.
Même si gouvernement nous pas aidé nous un peu dans le reboisement, et même si gouvernement nous ka aidé un peu dans le déboisement, yon bagay ki bon nan peyi pa nou, se nou gen yon prosesis piblik sou fore yo. Sa vle di gen reg ki indike gouvernman pa ka antre nan nimpòt ki bagay fe bagay jan yo vle. Gen fason kote moun ka patisipe, pose kesyon, e kek fwa menm bloke yon bagay gouvernement ap fe kap ilegal sou domen forea.
E, an Haiti, e sou papye gen bagay ki semble avek isi, men a koz de nivou konesans, tout moun nan peyi ya, e gen bagay ki neglije ki ta fet.
One of the things that's really important in Haiti, and I'm not real sure about how it relates to how things are here, is that the consciousness of people needs to be raised. We've come a long way, but that's something that we feel is at the root of solving our problems of reforestation, is building everyday awareness for everybody. There are some laws that protect the land and the few remaining forests.
Men e pepla pa kone yo.
But people aren't necessarily aware of them.
Nivou edikasyon yo gen pa permet yo tou pou yo chache kone yo.
And that's a problem with the Haitian educational system, because a lot of the way in that the system is structured, it's not designed so that people learn what the law is and learn what their rights are.
E moun kap fe deboazman yo, petet se pepla ki... Et c'est malheureux de couper un pied bois, mais c'est pas lui-même qui peut utiliser pied bois, les couper.
So, another thing to think about is to ask yourself, who is cutting wood now in Haiti? And the answer is the poorest people. They cut wood because it's the only fuel that's available to cook their food. So, it's probably not exactly fair or correct to say that it's the poorest people in Haiti that are deforesting their own country. It was already deforested when they had access to it.
Many similarities. C'est presque la même ici, Abné. Le système d'éducation, c'est pas exactement le même, mais il y a, ce n'est pas exactement différent aussi. Les gens, les attitudes des gens, c'est universal. Okay, I guess I told Abner that a lot of similarities between the U.S. and Haiti in terms of education and what people do. And, you know, the more I think we have contact with people from other places, the more we realize we're the same. I guess the biggest difference here is the United States is a lot larger country and had a kind of a land base that wasn't as easily exploited. Haiti is a much smaller country.
Lidi sali liwe nan conversation sa empil bagay ki mem jan nan peyi d'Haïti e os Etazini. E yon moun ka gade peyi d'Haïti, yon moun ka gade os Etazini, yon ka panse payo nan domaine forêt yo différent net parce que les gade payo ou est moins pied bois nan pays d'Haïti. Mais différence ça c'est pas une différence nan forêt et nan gens pays géré forêt, c'est une différence largeur pays a. Aux États-Unis, c'est un gros pied, gros pays, il y a un pire ressource, il y a pas gain même quantité population dans espace li gain dans pays d'Haïti, mais ça pas veut dire gens yo géré forêt pas même gens.
Oui, et me content Levin sous et causer ça. Vraiment si on moun bien réfléchi et au niveau économique, au niveau nourriture, pays ou pas même, et au niveau quantité, pied bois, grosse, les difficiles, vrai, pour ta faire comparaison. Mais, m'tap passé, ensemble à Nancy, dans, yon côté, et m'te ouais, quand on parle de déboisement, pas v'le dit c'est Haïti, à ce qu'a fait, semble, c'est dans le monde entier, tout le monde fait déboisement, nan façon parle par rapport quantité pied bois li gen la kali, mais quand même li rete yon déboisement et l'affecté tout moun nan même sens.
I'm really happy to see the discussion go in this direction because it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. If you look at the United States and you look at Haiti and you think about what people have to eat, you're going to say these are two really different countries. And if you look at Haiti and if you look at the United States and you just look at the number of trees that are there, you're going to say these are two really different countries. But if you step back further and you look at the entire world, you'll say that deforestation is taking place at an incredible rate everywhere. Each story is its own story, but the bottom line for all those stories is deforestation.
C'est vrai. Very true.
We're going to go into a quick musical break after the weather, and we'll be back with more discussion here on the Wild Clearwater Country. Tonight, it looks like we're going to get some rain showers and a low. Sorry, Abner, it's going to get down to 36. And it looks like we're going to be up into the 80s at the end of the week and lows in the mid-40s and clearing up tomorrow through Sunday. And looks like early next week back into some thunderstorms and higher temperatures. That's Milt Hinton. Welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country on KRFP, Radio Free Moscow. Been talking with Abner, director of Matenwa Community School on the island of Lago Nav, Haiti. And for more information, I encourage you to check out www.matenwa.org. Matenwa is spelled M-A-T-E-N-W-A. And we're here with Abner and Nancy and Gary, continuing our conversation about environmental concerns. And we've been going in the vein of realizing some incredible similarities between deforestation that happens in the U.S. and in Haiti and worldwide, and how a lot of those processes, though the physical places may be very different in appearance, a lot of the processes leading up to deforestation and then the results are very similar. And was I to go ahead with my first question?
No, Abner.
Or Abner had a question. Okay. Thanks.
Question mwen se, n tap pase nan yon fore ansama nan si fom di fore, menm lèl pat fore anko, menm kwa el te yon fore. Se, janm te wèl te deboaze, map mande, eske gen yon nesesite ekonomik, eske se nesesite ekonomik ki fe y deboaze kon sa?
So, I've been, he says, I've been doing some walking around in some of the rural areas around Moscow and seeing these places that had a lot of trees that I would have called forests, but as I learned a little bit more about them, I learned that actually they're places that had been pretty heavily logged. So the question that I have is this logging occurring because there's a real economic necessity, and whose necessity is it?
That's a very good question.
It's a very good question. I'm going to take a shot at that. I think in terms of in this country, we talk a lot, we conflate, we confuse necessity with desire. And I would say that a lot of what we see in our society, because we're such a hyper-consumer society, is not out of necessity. It's out of desire. If you look at it maybe from a macro system, it is out of, quote, necessity to feed the capitalist machine, but it's not out of necessity for survival. It's more one of economic advancement or perceived economic advancement. So, and in fact, there are some things that happen that don't make a lot of economic sense. Logging national forests, for example, in high elevations, as we have, as has happened in the past, that we do anyway because of the systems in place. So I'm going to try to answer that. I want to have Will take a shot at that, but I'm going to try to answer that in French for Abner here in just a minute. Je vais répondre en français dans une minute. Premièrement, oui, il va répondre.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary. French, yeah.
Okay.
In French, yeah.
Okay, now, what did I just say? I have to remember what I said. J'ai dit qu'il y a une différence entre la nécessité et aussi le désir de faire quelque chose. Ici, on est... c'est confus un peu parce que quelqu'un dit j'ai besoin de quelque chose, mais c'est pas vrai. On veut quelque chose, mais on n'est pas vraiment besoin de quelque chose. Et c'est le déboisement ici, je dirais que c'est plus que pour les raisons, pour les désirs d'avancer, pas pour les raisons de survivre. J'ai dit quelque chose d'autre, mais j'ai oublié ce que j'ai dit. I said something else, but I don't remember what else it was after that about... I did say something about... But I can't remember now what it was. So go ahead, Will.
Okay. No, this is a really... I mean, it really hits to the heart of what we do, a lot of us who are in the conservation movement, and some of the, I guess, frustration we have in education.
Il dit ça, ça a frappé cœur tout le monde qui travaille dans le mouvement environnemental aux États-Unis. Question qui mettait point d'interrogation beaucoup de paroles nécessité. Et l'Iwe, il y a un petit problème. Ça, pour nous, c'est un problème d'éducation.
And in the short amount of time, I've been really following closely forest issues. I guess two different things I'm noticing. On both parts, though, an unwillingness to change. On one part, industrial forestry, being usually land management agencies and the industries, the timber companies that like to log our public lands. And secondly, those folks who don't understand the environmental impacts that this kind of activity have on an ecosystem and how fragile, especially an ecosystem with a river system, how fragile it is.
Les bons problèmes nous gagnent, ils gagnent deux parties. Première partie, c'est déboisement industriel. La continuer, c'est non, c'est un coup compagnie qui a fait déboisement ça. Il y a l'habitude ça, il y a tout un système qui l'a. Et moun gen l'idée, oh, ça nous gagne, c'est un bon bagay, nous pas doit déranger. Quand ça, système ça, les gros, les difficiles pour changer. Ça, c'est un problème nous gagne. Deuxième problème nous gagne, ça, qui, dans l'éducation, tout, c'est les moun coupe un pied bois. Yo pa ka nécessairement wè nan moment sa l'effet pedi pye bwa sa ap genyen sou tout l'environnement. Et yon sel pye bwa le ou koupel li pa bay anpil érosion et la triye bagay ki mauve pou l'environnement. Mais se le ou koupe anpil pye bwa yon moun fel, voisin li fel, tout région fel, se nan sa environnement commence à changer. Et c'est pas faute moun yo pa gen connaissance ça, c'est faute système éducation qui pas aide moun gen connaissance ça.
And I guess the only good analogy I can come up with to relay this unwillingness to change would be the US dependence on petroleum and our unshifting policy on drilling in the Arctic, especially.
Liwe, ça fait partie un problème qui plus gros pour nous. C'est aux États-Unis, nous gain l'idée pour gens pays à survivre, mais l'idée est pas bon. Et premier exemple, ça, c'est situation nous gagnons avec pétrole. Ça nous fait dans domaine ça, c'est pas réaliste. Et une partie, ça, c'est énergie. Dans un sens, ce qu'a dit Pierre-Bois, c'est énergie tout. Et ça paye à la situation, ça, c'est pas réaliste vrai.
Et concrètement, est-ce qu'il y a un groupe qui compte déboisement, mais qui intervenir les moun ap déboiser pour propriété par eux.
So in a concrete sense, like you belong to one group that's interested in forestry issues, are there any groups that step in, given that what even a private property owner does can be harmful to the environment? Is there any way that grassroots groups can step in and stop deforestation and environmental degradation that's taking place because of the activities of individuals on their private property?
I'm going to try to answer that. In short, oui, mais les règles ne sont pas si fortes que les règles pour les forêts nationales. Et c'est difficile parce que aux États-Unis, c'est presque une religion d'avoir les droits de développer le terrain privé. I guess I said, what did I say? I can't remember. I basically said I answered that it's, we do have regulations for private land, but they're not very strong, and that it's very difficult because it's almost religion here in this country to be able to do whatever you want to do with your private land.
And I guess to add to that, I know that some laws do extend into private land issues, especially with when wetlands are found there. And there are organizations, both private and governmental, that try to work to educate private landowners, especially in agriculture, as to how they manage their land. And what seems to be the most successful way to encourage good behavior, unfortunately, is our financial incentives.
Ça n'a pas une propriété privée, gain groupe et puis gain gouvernement tout qui travaille plutôt dans le domaine éducation pour monde qui gain propriété privée pour faire comprendre si c'est non c'est l'intérêt pas yo pour gérer tes biens. Et les cas, c'est toujours les cas présentés un problème dans le sens économique aux États-Unis. Semble ça, c'est ça qu'a fait mon côté. Quand ça, groupio et puis gouvernement tout a commencé à faire fond en éducation pour mon qui gagne propriété privée, car ouais, gérer tes biens, ça c'est une bonne décision économique tout.
Pour nous, ça sont l'autre différence nous gagnons en Haïti. Et presque sous propriété privée ou pas senti, et gouvernement n'a aucune politique pour faire mon yo respecter et déboisement sous propriété privée.
So that's probably one big difference then that's that we have between Haiti and the United States, because the arm of the government doesn't extend at all in Haiti to what private property owners can do on their own land.
Which makes education so much more important, I would imagine. And
et puis lui dit, non ça lui est solution problème ça là dans éducation.
I was going to ask a question of Abner. I'll try to ask it in English first and then in French. What's very interesting, is there much public land in Haiti, and or is it almost all private? And then the second part of my question, especially in terms of reforestation, who owns the private land in Haiti? So here we go. Y a-t-il beaucoup de propriété qui est publique en Haïti ou bien à Laganav, et aussi oui, la première question.
Ok. Et en Haïti, nous n'avons pas de beaucoup propriété publique. Et même la propriété publique qu'on dise qui pour l'État, Les gens non publics utilisent sans rien de paix. Qui veut dire en Haïti presque pas gain propriété publique qui pour l'État. Sous papier toujours dit gain parce que l'on prend bol en main ça réservé pour l'État. L'on prend tant que nous gagnons forêt ou toujours dit mais on dit qu'on n'y a pas forêt encore, c'est forêt des pins qui en Haïti. Mais chaque fois gagne coup d'état ou bien chaque fois gagne on monde qui sous pouvoir grand nèg yo monde qui gagne cob yo toujours utiliser pouvoir yo genyen parce qu'on connaît grand nèg yo c'est yo gen moun nan gouvernement c'est yo ministre c'est yo qui directeur général c'est yo qui tout bagay yo toujours utiliser propriété publique sa yo pour faire ça yo vle mais gen kek.
So Haiti has a small amount of public land, but it's not very much, and it's almost sometimes hard to even describe it as public land because there's very little protection of it. And exacerbating that particular problem, for example, the public lands in Haiti are supposed to be all of the seacoast areas. All of the beaches are public, and there's also a couple of small forest reserve areas. But since there's no enforcement or no regulation that says this is public land and here's how it's supposed to be managed, it's pretty much up for grabs. And especially with the series of illegitimate governments that they've had, you know, when you have a coup d'etat, what that often means or always means in Haiti, and a lot of other places too, is that this means that whoever grabbed power is now in a position to parcel out favors to friends and relatives and everybody who put them there, and then that's where the wealth of the public land ends up going.
I would make just one comment. I'll try to do it in both French and English, but a coup d'etat in Haiti, I think in every instance of me, has meant the involvement of the United States in the history of the country, with the exception of, I guess, the original revolution where the Haitians freed themselves from the French. So, un coup d'état d'Haïti, chaque fois, les États-Unis a été participé avec le coup d'état dans quelques sortes de moyens.
Oui. Puis, gros danger nous gain surtout au niveau politique, c'est les États-Unis.
Yes, I would say that the greatest danger to Haiti in terms of politics is the United States.
Parce que États-Unis toujours prêt dans malé nous.
Because it seems like the United States is always ready to do something bad to us.
Mais ils toujours disent sauver la vie, sauver nous.
But they're always telling us that they're coming to save us.
Parce que gros mot toujours utilisé, c'est amis Haïti.
There's the word that we always keep hearing, and that's that the United States is Haiti's friend.
Mais politiquement, on sentit yo pas jamais ami Haïti, oui.
But politically, I don't get the impression that the United States is my friend at all.
Sam kwe, si États-Unis ta vle de nou vre, fol ta kite nou, fè choix nou.
Because if the United States was really our friend and wanted to help us, they'd just leave us alone and let us figure out our own problems and solutions.
An pi kite nou, di sa nou vle, a sa nou pa vle.
And they'd leave us to make our own choices and do what we wanted.
Et gen yon bay ki enteresan kounya. Et gouvernement Moutea te di li pral mande communauté internationale la pou yo voye plis et boule désert plis tracteur pou aide nou.
So there's a movement now where the current government is demanding from the international community to send to Haiti, if they're going to send aid, to send bulldozers and tractors.
Nou ta prete tande ki repons Etazini an patikilye ta bay kom li di se zanmi nou.
And so we're really curious to see what our friend the United States is going to, how they're going to respond to this.
Men li pa di anyen, sa pa enterese l nan sans.
But the interesting thing is that once after Haiti made this request officially to the international community, the United States was silent.
It's despicable.
Nous won't.
Bon, par quoi c'est gouvernement qui doit won't, mais c'est pas peuple américain.
He says, I think that it's the government that should be ashamed and not the American people.
Well, some of us have said the same thing here, but we also have to be responsible for our government. Ici, on a dit la même chose, mais en part, nous sommes responsables pour notre gouvernement parce que nous avons élu le gouvernement. Peut-être, mais pas, pas en 2000. Ça, nous n'avons pas élu le gouvernement en 2000. I said.
I guess I said, what did I say,
Nancy? I said, we. Yeah, it's the same thing. Many of us have said the same thing here, that the, you know, the government really, we really don't deserve the government. But at the same time, we have, we elected the government, well, except in 2000, I guess we really didn't.
Yeah, but you also said that we, the people of this country, can't just shuck our responsibility. That's and right. Say that it's the government. It is a government of the people, and we are the people, and we are responsible for what our government does.
Well, we're getting down there.
We got a couple more minutes.
Yes, I wanted a question, mainly, what's the future? Quel est le futur? Que ferez-vous à la Ganave?
Bon, pour futur à la Ganave, pour qu'il y ait un futur, il faut préparer le présent.
For us to have a future, we need to take care of the present.
Et maintenant, pour le futur, il faut préparer les élèves.
So this means taking good care of our students.
Et préparer et tant que les reboisements.
It means planting trees.
Et politiquement faire l'un respecter les autres.
And politically, the thing that we can work most on is mutual respect.
Et participer dans élection pour élire.
And getting people to participate in elections.
Pour élire des bons personnages.
So that we can elect good officials.
Qui soucient de nos problèmes.
Because we need officials that really care about our problems.
Qui veut dire c'est ça nous a fait kounya.
This is what we're trying to do now.
Parler ça qui t'est passé, ça qui fait nous mal.
To talk about what's happened and all the things that have been really bad for us.
Fait tout le monde prend responsabilité pour connaître l'autre, c'est pas l'autre côté qui va venir sauver.
It helps us to understand that nobody else is going to come and help us.
Gen bagay, c'est nous qui pour faire l'autre monde pas qu'à faire la place nous.
It's us that have to help ourselves.
C'est ça.
Great.
That's about it.
Semble l'arrivée.
Well, it's great having you here on the show today, Abner. We really appreciate this discussion, and maybe we'll get to do this again in the coming weeks. Nancy, it's good to have you here too. Oh, this is the Wild Clearwater Country, KRFP Radio Free Moscow. And just please, if you have internet and want to learn more about Matenwa and Abner and the work he does there and the work going on at the community school, please check out www.matenwa.org. That's MATENWA.ORG.